Hello and welcome to The Common Good, where we showcase the achievements of our community that contribute in a positive way to our common good. I'm your host, Joe Clemens. As we emerge from the pandemic, we're seeing statistics that show a surge in substance use across the nation. And as you might imagine, recovery can be even more challenging in this environment. My guest this week is Dr. Eowyn Reeke. Dr. Reeke is the outpatient medical director at DePaul Treatment Centers. Dr. Reeke joins me today to share insights on what the impact of the post-pandemic world may have on substance abuse and or those in remission from substance use disorder, the challenges they may face, and how we as society can help. I'm Joe Clemens, and this is The Common Good. DePaul Treatment Centers provides drug and alcohol treatment to men, women, youth, and families. Their mission is to create freedom from addiction, and they use comprehensive, culturally appropriate, and evidence-based practices that help individuals and families stabilize, reconnect, and heal. DePaul views addiction as a complex, chronic, and treatable disease and believe that all individuals have within them the innate health and capacity to recover. Today, I'm pleased to welcome the outpatient medical director, Dr. Eowyn Reeke, to the program. Welcome, Dr. Reeke.
Thank you, Joe. I am delighted to be here.
We are glad to have you. I really appreciate you taking the time to meet with us today. So to get started, tell me about your role at DePaul and more about your journey that brought you there.
So I am the director of outpatient medical services at DePaul Treatment Centers. And in that role, I am building a system in which we can guarantee access to medications for substance use conditions for clients who come through our services. We believe this is important work because we know that medications save lives. They are the strongest evidence-based treatment for substance use conditions, and they allow people to stabilize and not have the cravings for substance use while they rebuild and reclaim the rest of their lives. And I love this work, which you'll see here while I'm talking today. And I love it because it is a way to help people recreate the lives they want. People for whom substance use has taken away so much, and we can support them and help them identify their goals. And through medications and treatment, we can help them reach those goals. So it is an incredible, beautiful opportunity, an incredibly beautiful opportunity to support people in that journey.
I love that. You can obviously tell you have a lot of passion for this work. So tell us about DePaul Treatment Centers itself. What's the history there?
DePaul has been around in the Portland area since 1977. It's one of the oldest treatment centers in the community. The things that are special about DePaul is that we provide comprehensive services. We are the only place in the state where people can come and do withdrawal management, which is sometimes known as detox. And so you can come to us to get off of substances safely and more comfortably. And then you can stay for residential treatment and then even move on to outpatient treatment, where people can engage in groups and one-on-ones with a counselor to help them build their coping skills and build ways that they can continue their recovery and their substance-free or substance or time using fewer substances in their life. We are also strongly evidence-based, which means that we are providing state-of-the-art care, the care that has the very strongest medical evidence, so that we can ensure that our clients get the very best possible services. And we do all of this with great heart. We bring a sense of honor and humility and a deep respect for the clients who come to us, and an appreciation of the incredibly difficult paths that they have had to walk in order to come and be with us.
Yeah, that's got to be very helpful to kind of approach this from a heart and mind perspective. What are some data points that you can share about substance use?
Just this week, we got word on the overdose rates for the year 2020, and it's horrifying. We learned that 130,000 people in the United States died from a substance use overdose. That's not all of the people who have had their lives impacted, who have had other medical conditions, who may have lost their houses or had all kinds of things occur related to their substance use. 130,000 people in the US died of an overdose. And that is a 30% increase from the year previous, the greatest jump we've ever seen. And it breaks my heart. That's 130,000 people. That's brothers and sisters and parents and family members who are not with us anymore. Mm-hmm. And we can prevent those overdoses. We can engage people in treatment. We can make sure that people have Narcan, the medicine that reverses opioid overdoses. So that's the overdose. And then, but what about the day-to-day impact? Another piece of data that came out recently is that alcohol use among women increased 40% during the pandemic. Another interesting piece of data is that alcohol use among women increased 40% during the pandemic. First of all, I think that's probably caretakers, not just women. I think when we gather the data, we split things by gender. And I believe, in fact, the caretakers in our world had to bear the brunt of the stress of the pandemic. They were the ones who all of a sudden had kids home all the time. Mm-hmm. They were the ones who were having to cook and clean and manage so many details that previously were invisible, that invisible work of caretakers, and now became so incredibly important in our society. So I think anyone who identifies as a caretaker, whether they're male or female or gender non-binary, may have experienced an increase in substance use, and especially alcohol use during the pandemic.
So how do you know if you have a problem with substance use?
Good question. I tend to think about this as looking at a person's control over their use and the impact of their use. So with control, does the person have control and can they plan and they can they keep their plans related to their use? For example, if someone says, I'm going out with friends today, I finally get to go out with my friends, but I'm only going to have one drink because I have to work tomorrow. And I know that if I have two, I might not feel well. And then the next day they look back and they say, oh my gosh, I had three or four. I wish I hadn't done that. Or someone who says, I think it's time to take a break. I've been drinking more, as many of us did during the pandemic, during the most intense period of the pandemic. I'd like to stop for a few days. And then they find themselves picking up a drink or picking up another substance to cope. And then the impact. So maybe that person who drank a little more can't go to work the next day because they're hungover. Or maybe the person who stayed up really late with their friends having a lovely time then is not able to fulfill their responsibilities the next day. So if a substance is having a negative impact on your life, and if you are not feeling like you have control, those are both signs that you might want to re-examine how you're using that substance and consider changing your use.
Mm. I'm here with Dr. Eowyn Rieke, Outpatient Medical Director for DePaul Treatment Centers. When we come back from the break, we'll talk more about some of the stigma and shame associated with substance use and shed some light on how the right support can make a big difference in recovery. You're listening to The Common Good.
Big thank you to Craft Cannabis, formerly known as Nuvamsterdam, for supporting our radio community. Craft Cannabis now has two locations here in Vancouver. Both locations offer online ordering and curbside pickup. The Mill Plain location has an express window that serves as a contactless option to pick up your cannabis products. The newest shop is located on Andreessen Road, off Paddon Parkway, next to the Home Depot, across from Costco. Both locations are open daily, 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. More information available at craftcannabis.com.
Community radio like this is brought to you by the generous support by our founding sponsors at ADCO Commercial Printing and Graphics, Clark County's local print shop since 1993. ADCO features stationery, posters, flyers, tickets, business cards, stickers, catalogs, and much more. Print on anything and mail anywhere. Learn more at adco1.com. That's ADCO, the number 1.com.
KXRW Radio would like to thank our newest local sponsor, Fusion CBD. Located just off of Highway 99 in Hazeldell, Fusion CBD offers a wide variety of whole plant, full spectrum, hemp-derived wellness products, from premium hemp flower to edibles, topicals, and pet products. Fusion CBD has what's right for your mind, body, and budget. That's Fusion CBD at 9102 Northeast Highway 99 in Vancouver or at fusioncbd.com.
Welcome back to The Common Good. I'm Joe Clemens. My guest today is Dr. Eowyn Rieke with DePaul Treatment Centers. Dr. Rieke, going into the break, we broached the subject of stigma and shame associated with substance abuse. What can you clarify for us on that topic?
First, stigma kills. People die because of the stigma and the judgment that is associated with substance use. That shame makes them want to hide. It makes them afraid to talk to people about something they're struggling with. And so if we can work together to reduce that stigma and acknowledge and reduce that shame, we have a wonderful opportunity to support each other in positive change. I think one example of this is a term that you use, Joe, which is so commonly used in our community, which is the word abuse. Mm. I tend to use the word use because abuse, for me, if someone says I'm abusing something, I feel bad about myself. And for many people, their substance use has played an important role in their lives. And sometimes that role has helped them get through things in a safe, controlled way that doesn't have a negative impact on their life. And then it evolves and they lose control and it has a negative impact, but it's still use. And I'd rather not call it abuse because I'm worried that that will reduce the chances that they will seek help when they decide they want to.
That's a really good point. I'm glad that you brought that up. You know, it's important because words matter, and especially how we use words. And I can really appreciate that the word abuse can have a negative connotation. So thank you for clarifying that. It seems to me that there are really two audiences for this: those who are going through substance use recovery and those who are supporting those going through the recovery. So for those listening who fall into that latter camp, what advice do you have for those who are supporting folks that are in recovery?
First, I want to acknowledge it's a hard conversation to have. It can be. People have a lot of feelings about substance use. Sometimes they're angry. Sometimes they feel hurt. Sometimes the person who's using has caused damage. And so they might want to talk about that and hold that person accountable for that damage. But I know for me, if someone comes to me and says, you did these things, I'm not going to feel comfortable being vulnerable and saying, yeah, I'm really sorry. All this stuff is going on. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. Instead, if we can really center in our caring for that person, really take a few breaths, think about why it matters, why we care about this person, and come to them with an open heart and say, maybe I see that you're struggling, or not even assume, maybe say, how do you feel about the fact that you drank a couple extra ones yesterday, or that you didn't feel well this morning and you didn't end up getting up and doing what you planned to? And then listen with an open heart and let that person say what they need to say. And if they want to make a change, offer to support them in that.
Do you have any success stories that you can share with us?
First of all, I think everyone here is a success story. I mean, we've made it this far, right? Like, yeah. The pandemic is not over, but we've made it this far, which is a miracle. And we still have some things that we may want to address because of habits we picked up during the pandemic. Some of my favorite experiences are when clients come back to me for care. Early on with COVID, when everything shut down, it was hard to access care. People were afraid to go out. They were afraid to ride the bus. They didn't come in. We didn't have our telemedicine platform set up. So there were these gaps, or people didn't feel like they could access care that way. And so many people who are in substance use treatment, who are getting medications, who are meeting with counselors, were not in that treatment actively for some number of months. And then they started to come back. And during that time, they may have started using again, alcohol, heroin, meth, any number of things. And then for a variety of reasons, they decided, I think it's time to change this again. I would like to reduce or stop my use. And then they come back to us and we welcome them. We're not going to shame them for what has happened. We're going to say, welcome back. We're so glad you're here. What are your goals and how are we going to get there together? So many, many people who may have had a recurrence of use during COVID or maybe right now in the middle of a recurrence of use are successes because they're coming back to treatment or because they will come back because they may have that moment when they're like, huh, I think it's time to change and reduce or stop my use, and we will welcome them back.
I love that. So in many ways, there's always another opportunity, another chance. That's really encouraging. You've got some exciting changes that are coming in the form of a new name for your organization, also a new building. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes. In the fall, we are moving to a new building and we will have a new name at that time. DePaul Treatment Centers will become Fora Health. We will continue with the same mission to create freedom from addiction in an expanded facility where we will be able to offer more withdrawal treatment. We will continue to have a rich menu of services for people in our residential, including a gym. We'll have a new art room. People will be surrounded by a beautiful space that will help them to connect with what matters while they're working to reduce their substance use. Why the name Fora? Our leadership chose that name because it is the plural of the word forum, which is a gathering. And so we imagine that Fora Health will be a place for people to gather. That will be our patients coming to work with us to change their substance use. And that will be leaders in the substance use community around the state, perhaps coming to Fora to learn more about substance use treatment and to build community among the treatment providers throughout Oregon.
That's beautiful. So for those folks that are listening that want to learn more, where can they go?
They can call us at 503-535-1151 or visit us on the web at depaultreatmentcenters.org. And even after we've moved to our new location and become Fora Health, they can still use those contact information and will be redirected to our new locations.
So the phone number is 503-535-1151. The website is www.depaultreatmentcenters.org. Dr. Rieke, is there anything that I didn't ask you that you wish I did, or do you have any final thoughts for today?
I mean, yes. I think substance use is a really hard thing to talk about in our world, something a lot of us want to hide from. Either if a friend or family member may be overusing substances or we are ourselves. And I want to encourage people to take a moment. And if their substance use is something that is concerning to them, if they don't have control or it has a negative impact on their life, to consider opening up and talking to someone about it. And if someone talks to you about their substance use, be kind. Be kind and be loving so that they can feel comfortable asking for help.
Dr. Eowyn Rieke, Outpatient Medical Director at DePaul Treatment Centers, soon to be Fora Health. Dr. Rieke, thank you so much for being on the program today and for all that you're doing to contribute to the common good of our community. And that's our show. I want to thank my guest, Dr. Eowyn Rieke, Outpatient Medical Director at DePaul Treatment Centers. To see and hear more about today's program and what we're up to, join the conversation on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at KXRW Vancouver. Programming like this is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. If you would like to support this and other programs like this, please visit us on the web at kxrw.fm, and there you'll find the big donate button. Together, we are discovering Vancouver's voice. For all of the volunteers and supporters who make this program possible, I'm Joe Clemens, and I want to thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you again right here on The Common Good.
KXRW Radio would like to thank our newest local sponsor, Fusion CBD. Located just off of Highway 99 in Hazeldell, Fusion CBD offers a wide variety of whole plant, full spectrum, hemp-derived wellness products, from premium hemp flower to edibles, topicals, and pet products. Fusion CBD has what's right for your mind, body, and budget. That's Fusion CBD at 9102 Northeast Highway 99 in Vancouver or at fusioncbd.com. KXRW programming is made possible by the generous support by David Dansky with David's Toys, buyer and collector of old toy trains, including Lionel, Flyer, Ives, and Marks. He is interested in buying old transportation-related toys as well as toy trains from the late 1800s to the 1960s. David offers appraisals for fellow toy train lovers as well. David's Toys can be reached at 360-576-1602. That's 360-576-1602. Big thank you to Craft Cannabis, formerly known as New Vansterdam, for supporting our radio community. Craft Cannabis now has two locations here in Vancouver. Both locations offer online ordering and curbside pickup. The Mill Plain location has an express window that serves as a contactless option to pick up your cannabis products. The newest shop is located on Andreessen Road, off Patton Parkway, next to the Home Depot, across from Costco. Both locations are open daily, 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. More information available at craftcannabis.com.
Hi, this is Josh Croker, and I'm reporting for KXRW in Vancouver, Washington. And we're here at Esther Short Park celebrating Women's Equality Day. I'm talking to local politicians and those running for office about their thoughts on women's equality in 2019. Can you start by introducing yourself, please?
Yeah, Monica Stonier, State Representative in the 49th Legislative District.
Okay, and what brings you out today?
I just was honored to be invited to speak at our annual commemoration of women's suffrage, and we're coming up on 100 years here next year. And after this last couple election cycles, when we have so many women stepping up to run for office, it's fun to come out here and celebrate. Brought my daughter with me today, and there's all kinds of women running for our local and legislative and congressional races that we're excited to support. So.
And what do you think are some of the biggest issues facing women in our country today?
Definitely issues around equity when it comes to the economy. So, you know, the fact that we pay more for feminine hygiene issues, that we're still behind in pay for equal work, the fact that we don't have access to affordable childcare or even available childcare. The housing market is disproportionately negatively impacting women of color. That continues to be perpetuating challenges that women who are raising families or would like to raise families or would like to get into the workplace are struggling to kind of overcome.
And what's something that both men and women can do to help support equal rights for women?
I think the number one thing we need to be doing right now is calling out the kinds of things that get said that perpetuate that kind of mentality and approach. One of the comments I made in my remarks today was that we can change the law and we can change policy, but until we change the hearts and minds and the way we approach one another, the way that we talk to each other and the way that we talk about equity, it's really going to be a slow movement toward actually changing what we would like to change. So I think we have to call each other out for some of the ridiculous comments that are acceptable right now.
And do you have any favorite female role models?
You know, I'd have to say my mom is one of my favorite. She'd probably be surprised to hear me say this. I don't talk about my mom very often in terms of a role model for me. But, you know, I grew up as a kid with two parents who were working, and she was in a man's industry. She worked in banks, and she's high up in one of our corporate banks right now, getting close to retirement. And she's the one who taught me how to shake hands firmly and make eye contact and, you know, to stand up for myself and to be confident. And when I think about those early like childhood lessons that I learned from my mom, I had no idea how well they would serve me today. So I think back to those early lessons as real good role model examples.
Great. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thanks.
Can you start by introducing yourself today?
My name is Tracy Barrows. I'm a candidate for Vancouver School Board.
And what's bringing you out to the event today?
I have been involved with learning more about the Clark County Democratic Women, and just I support equal rights for women, and I want to come out and lend my support to their efforts.
And what do you think are some of the biggest issues facing women today, specifically in education?
With education, I think it's allowing all of our female students to have equal opportunities to male students, especially when it comes to STEM and some of the science and technology opportunities. I think also in education, at the teacher level, it's predominantly it's a female role, but as you go up in terms of administration and leadership positions, the percentage of women drastically decreases. And so I think having women that are stepping up and taking leadership roles in education is really important.
And what do you think is something that both men and women can do to help support equal rights for women?
I think just getting out there and supporting women in leadership positions and understanding the importance of how they're communicating with women, how they're communicating and supporting the ideas of both men and women in education is really important in terms of the value that they bring to decision making at the table.